when you realize, wow, we helped save lives. Wow, we got people back with hope again. You know, and if someone says, oh, so how are things going? And you can say, you know what? Things are going great. I got this news about all these people's lives that are changed, and they've got hope, and they actually had a party, and now their kids are able to go to school, and they've got uniforms. And then this one girl, she was so excited. She helped out all her friends, and then they got this big party going, and then they did this thing where, you know, people would be like, whoa, hold up. Hold up. Are you taking something? Or, you know, we need that today. I noticed everything on the news. I was trying to watch some sports. Everybody's so critical of everything. Rather than talk about the sports, you're just talking about how bad they did or what they look like. Or, you know, I was like, I just wanted to hear sports, not you make fun of people, you know. Use your testimony, the testimony of what your body is doing, the testimony of what you have done, and share it, teach it. Get people excited, because this is the impact that you're having. And if you're not having this kind of impact, you know, we talked about the issues, was one of the first thing that I mentioned. I was talking about, you have to keep in mind the issue and the point. And so I want to go back with you and kind of give you an idea. How do you get to this place where you're running an international ministry and you're feeding and reaching thousands of people, and you're saving lives? How do you get to that point? Do you have to be at that point? And it came from two people that needed life. I needed life because my life wasn't worth anything, and Patty needed life, so we went to the source of life. We went to God. And we found his son, and we got our purpose and our love and a way to the Father, and then help in ministering from the Holy Spirit. And we came in line with what the point initially was. When things get kind of crazy, you have to remember that what was the issue? What was the point? The issue was for us to be with the Father. That was the whole issue from the start. If you want to know a little bit what heaven's going to be like, just look at the Garden of Eden. That was the point of the Father, is to be with us, spend time with us, for us to enjoy one another and enjoy his creation. Not that complicated, really. Kind of sounds like a father and their children, and a mother and their children, right? So, why is this also complicated? Well, we can be thanked for that. We're the ones that are doing that. I mean, we blame God all the time for stuff that we stepped into. You know, we look at our feet and we're like, wow, what is that? That stinks. Oh, God, why'd you do that? He's like, I didn't tell you to step in that. You did that all on your own. You even invented that stuff you stepped in. And you're blaming me for it. So the issue was relationship. It always has been, and it always will be. That's the whole point. And this life is so that we can get right and be where we were meant to be in the first place, which was with him. You know, if you ever had a child that's left home and said, oh, I'm never coming back. I don't want to talk to you. I don't. Your heart's desire was, you don't care about all the other stuff. The relationship with your child is what matters. It's like all the other stuff, it's like, I don't care about that stuff. I want to be with you. I want to have stuff right with you. So this is about us knowing who God is, having a way to get to him, and living the life that he intended. The purpose is what it was meant to be. And so when we discovered the life in the life giver in Jesus, that's when we got what the word is, Zoe. And so our organization is called Zoe International Ministries. And the reason why we called that is because when I found life in Jesus, and in John 10:10, he says, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. That word life there means overflowing, abundant life in Christ. And when I found Jesus, I found overflowing. I was like, man, this is amazing. I can't keep this in. I got to tell people about this. If I would have known it was going to be like this, purpose, love, man, do you know about this? They're like, no, and I don't want to know. It's like, well, if you don't, I got to tell you. So I started telling people, and that's how I met Patty. I'm at church going, hey, I know these drunk guys that are going to show up in the park. I know because I used to be one of them. And they show up around 10 or 11. They're going to drink all night. You want to come and share Jesus with them? And they're like, no. Hey, you want to share? No, 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 no. And I'm like, wow, no one wants to share this amazing love with people. And I get to this one girl who says, yeah, I've been looking for people this year. And that's when I met Patty. So that night, we went and shared, and it started around 8 or 9, and we met these guys, and one of them I knew, and we're talking, and then she shares this, and I share this, and then we split up, and she shares her testimony, and I share mine, then we switch again. I'm like, wow, this is just awesome. It's like we've known each other, you know? So this is the first time we've ever been together, and we're sharing and everything, and it's about 1 in the morning at this point, and the guy looks at me and goes, dude, just tell me, man, just straight up, just be honest with me. Have you two had sex yet? No. He's like, cool, dude, cool, I can honor that. I can honor that. And we've known each other for 4 or 5 hours. And that's how much of a team we looked. We looked like we had been together for a long time. Because God working through her and God working through me, you know, God's ways are God. You can meet people you've never met before and have family in Christ because God does not fight himself. He is about the business of people and relationship. And that's one thing that's great about going, oh, what did I knock over? That's one thing that's great about going around the world and helping people is that you just run into family everywhere. And who isn't family soon will become family. And so we share with these guys, and then the next day we go share with other people. And as we became interested in each other, our interest was going in helping people. So we would even, you know, people say, well, I don't know how to do this, and I'm not sure what it looks like. Well, it just looks like you sharing what you've been given, which is life. Well, I have problems. Yeah, get in line. We all have them. That's not the issue. The issue is what you have. We have such a critical thinking, which is, you know, if you're not great at something, you can't share it. If you're not perfect, you know, don't offer to be a leader because you have issues. The question isn't the issues. The question is, are you fighting through the issues? Are you gaining ground on the issues? Are you heavenly minded and headed that direction? Now, we're all bound for eternity. That's not the issue. Eternity where is the issue? Okay? You're headed for eternity. The question is it in relationship with the Father? Or is it out of his presence for eternity? Either way is going to be through fire. One is through being refined, and the other one is through punishment. So with that in mind, that gives you a little bit of clarity of what our purpose should be about. Not retirement, right? But eternity. Does that make sense? So with that in mind, as we met and stuff, we're thinking, hey, let's, you know, we're headed that way. Let's bring more people with us. Let's give what we've been given, which is life. So we would do simple things, like we would get in line at the grocery store, and Patty would get in not aisle 2, but aisle 3, and I'd get in aisle 1, and then we would share our testimony with each other. I'd say, hey, Patty, did you hear what God did last week? And people would be like, why don't you just get in line with each other? And so we would share testimonies when we would get in line. Really easy way to witness, because most people aren't going to go anywhere. I mean, they're in line. It works. I mean, people talk about, oh, I just need a ministry platform. Well, if there's a line somewhere, you have a ministry platform. And then we would load up my car full of Bibles and gas and blankets, and we would drive around on the loop in Portland and look for people who broke down. That's where we'd spend our date nights. And you know what? We found people. Can you believe that? It's not a miracle. We found them because we're looking for them. If you wait for ministry needs to come to you, my experience, majority of them will be scams. If you wait. I don't know if times have changed, but when I was working at churches as youth pastor and maintenance, a little bit over half of the ones that came to us were not legitimate. But when I went and sought them, I would say 99% were all legitimate, because I was looking to be a blessing, and then I could bless. And people would say, man, that's crazy. How did you? Thank you so much for being here. We really needed. This would have been horrible if you weren't here. How did you end up here? Why did you have clothes in my size and Bibles in three I don't understand. And so we'd say, well, let me tell you, this is what God's done in my heart. And you know, I think probably half of those people made some type of decision or dedication, and not because we said, hey, make a decision or I won't give you a ride. You know, that's not what we did. That's not a bad idea, but no. So in that doing that started becoming a lifestyle for us and reaching people. And so that we were actually wanting to go overseas, but Patty was getting her nursing degree, and then we felt like we got called to be a youth pastor and was like, okay, well, we'll do that until we can become missionaries. So I did the youth pastor, and then we went to Texas trying to look into going overseas, and then got into Christian camping. It was like, oh, well, we'll do this until we can be missionaries. And then somewhere along the line, we realized, you know what? We've been missionaries this whole time, because the mission is to love God and love others. And we'd been doing that. And the moment we realized that, we were like, man, we've been doing this the whole time. It's like, we can just stay right here. And so they were like, oh, we can start an orphanage on this property, and we can start, you know. So we started looking at kids that we could adopt. And then 2 weeks later, we got a clear call to go overseas. I was like, what? Why now? You know why? Because we finally got it. It's not where you are, it's who you are. And so once we got that, it was like, then we were free to go. We were also free to stay. We are free. When you understand that you're free, see, most of us don't really know that we're free. Did you know that you are free to bless people that make fun of you? Now, some people are saying this, but usually our reaction is we get hurt, and we think of things that we could say about them, or we look at a way that we could type it or email it somewhere and get back at them. Or no, you're free to let it go. You're actually free to pray for them and bless them. You're so free that if somebody steals from you, you can actually give them a gift. That's how free you are. It's getting really quiet. I'm telling the truth. You're so free that if somebody vandalizes or does something to you, you're free to go and share with them and help them in whatever purpose that you can bless them in, something that is godly. You know, you can do harm in your freedom also, but you are free. You are free to be a part of any good thing that is going on in anyone's life. You're free to lay down your life. You are so free that you can give your life, surrender your life for someone else. That's how free you are. Now, some of you are thinking, I'm not sure if I want to be that free. It's so exciting because then you don't have to hold on to the stuff that you were never meant to hold on to. See, you're actually thinking of heaven all the time. You just don't realize it. When you want things, good things, not to change. Oh, I remember this. I wish it would never have changed. I remember so-and-so. I wish, you know, that would have stayed that way. Well, the only things that are going to stay continual, they'll always be faithful to love and to stay. That's God. That's heaven. That's what you're desiring. You're desiring the place that you were created for, is to be with the Father. Nothing on this earth is going to stay lovely and sweet and pure and nothing. Sorry. Because you weren't designed to live here for eternity. Now, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy the things here. But, you know, you hear about us taking heavenly principles and applying it now. That's because you're preparing for eternity. You're preparing for your home. You're positioning your body and your spirit for what you've always been called to. So when you start doing things that you weren't designed to do, like entertainment all the time, you know, I can't believe this cable package is this way. I mean, why can't the TVs be the way? You know what? You weren't designed for constant entertainment. You were designed for constant purpose, but not constant entertainment. It's like, man, they don't make any good movies, you know, clean movies anymore. Well, you weren't promised good, clean family movies. You're not going to find any, maybe Second Opinions, verse 2, maybe. Third Hesitations, maybe. But you won't find it in the Bible. Now, is it wrong to watch those? No, we're not talking about wrong. I'm talking about design. Your design is about heavenly things, about kingdom things. Does that mean you can't enjoy things? No, it doesn't. But when you find yourself lined up with things that are not a part of your design, that's where the problems come. When you're arguing over issues, you weren't designed to argue. Did you know that? You weren't designed for that. Now, to stand up for what's right, yes. But there's a difference. Standing up for what's right is a process of being a part of the solution or repenting because you're part of the problem. It's an action thing, right? Sit down and pray. What I've told people during this whole process of election and everything, I was like, are you praying as much as you're speaking? Are you doing things or are you just complaining? Are you gossiping? Are you going to help the issues? When you sit and watch the news and do nothing, I believe that's professional gossip. The news should be a prayer list. And I don't know how you can make it through it, because after one or two, I need to pray. I can't watch that whole thing. I'm like, just turn it off, because if we were not part of the problem or part of the solution, why are we taking all this in? Because my design is to what? Is to love and to love. To love God and love others. You say, well, that seems pretty simple. Well, it is a simple design. It's not easy. It's like, you know, the time someone said, hey, let's go walk on the moon. That's a simple concept, isn't it? Loving God and loving others is a very simple concept, very difficult. But you know what? For that reason, we don't need to add anything else. We don't need to complicate it outside of what you were designed for. So simplification is one of the really key things right now in your life. As things go outside of the design that you were designed for, just cut it off. Just cut it off. And no one has to understand. Well, I don't understand. That's okay. You don't have to understand. It's what I know is right, and I am going to do. I understand why you are allowed your choices, but this is what I'm doing right now. And you know what? The fruit will show for itself. You know, when you look back, that process of doing that was just simply, hey, we want to make a difference. As we're making a difference, we ask other people, hey, you want to make a difference with us? And what we also do all the time, if you get our newsletters, you'll notice, we are saying, you are in a mission too, and we want to be about your mission. And so we did a thing called friend raising, is work on our friendships, not work on our bank account. I don't think you've ever read in one of our newsletters about sending money because we're interested in relationships. If you have someone's relationship, then you're connected. And if you're connected, you're going to care about each other. And we also care about their, we've sent and helped people on their missions. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you take money and send? Because we're supposed to, we're designed to be interlocked with one another. But as time goes on, are you noticing what's happening? The instincts are what? To pull away. I'm not going to get hurt again. I'm not going there. And even when you come here to this congregation, other congregations, you notice that you find a chair. You ever notice that? Well, I'm not going to sit over there. You know who's over there? You know what? I honestly believe this. When you come in, you should ask God where to sit. Because He might want you to sit someplace else so you can meet someone else. I mean, if you can't meet people and be honest and open here, it's going to get easier outside the door. And we're at our best in here. And if our best in here is pretty bad, well, that's a really sad situation. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've seen people here that, you know, they're like, oh, brother, you know, they give me a hug. And then I see them in Fred Meyers. They're like, what's up? I'm like, what happened to the brother thing? Where did that go? Do I have to wait for Sundays to be your brother? Why do we act different out there than in here? And in here should be at the design of what we're called to be, which is open and honest and loving. And it really shouldn't change outside those doors. Our design is something that we really do desire. Why do we love children so much? Because their head hasn't got in the way. We love dogs because they just come up to you no matter who you are. Most people do. You're like, you know, hey, look, listen. And the dog's not like, look, I don't know you. You're this color. You're this shape. You know, I don't know what your political standing is. They're like, ah, person, person. Woo-hoo. That's really our desire. Our desire is that we wish we could just love on people and be loved for who we are. Yes? No? I know we don't want to admit it because we don't want to get hurt, right? And then the issue comes up. The real issue is forgiving. So quick to want to be forgiven, so slow to forgive. Dude, I didn't mean to. It was an accident. But if somebody else does it, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that to me. The design is to be together. That's the design, whatever that looks like. These simple things to love. Simple things. Smiles, caring, prayers, phone calls, cards, high fives, a word of truth, tears. Where you naturally want to go and where God has called you to go, are you seeing how they're pulling us in two different directions? More comfort, more isolation, more entertainment is where our body's being pulled to. And God's pulling us to love, give, closer, forgiven, and forgive. That's where he's calling us to. That's where the life is at. So this morning, if you feel like you're being pulled this way, you can cut that off. Some of that stuff isn't a sin. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about being where you were called to be, which is in the arms of the Father. That's where you've been called to be. Can't you feel it always pulling at you? When you look out and say, oh, what a beautiful sunset, what a beautiful rainbow. That's the Father's handiwork calling you. Oh, I love these animals. That's the Father calling you. Oh, I wish I could just be held right now. Oh, I wish somebody could just listen to me. Oh, I wish things would stay the same. That's the Father pulling at you, his design pulling at you. So this morning could be the first day of your new life and the last day of your old life. It's your choice. I can't promise that you have tomorrow, but you do have right now.